This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. This is The Morning Run, and I'm Melissa Idris with Julian Ng and Tan Chung Han as we take a look at the top business stories of the morning. Today on The Breakfast Grill, coming up after the 8 o'clock news, we're going to be taking a look at private healthcare. Nadia Wan, Chief Operating Officer of Clinical Services at Sunway Medical Center, will be joining me on the show to discuss what goes into the running of a hospital. What cost is that? Apparently, there are a lot of hidden costs. And transparency in pricing, I think, is one of the biggest issues when it comes to private healthcare. Do you know why your drugs are priced at that level? Why you're paying that much for your, you know, your medical services? And how much, you know, that MRI will cost, right?
And you wonder, you know, with these rising costs in the private medical space here in Malaysia, you know, are they doing anything about hospital food? And has it gotten better? You know, I think that's a transparency right
private
there.
Private hospital, okay, la, I think.
You think so?
Yeah. It's okay. When I go and visit people, I always steal their trays.
But you know, you guys have heard so much about fintech. I wonder if that's going to be medtech, right? Because
medtech
is all about disrupting the kind of information asymmetry that exists. I mean, the producer or the manufacturer having more information than consumers, and tech wants to crush that. So perhaps medtech is something that we can look into to enable consumers to make better decisions.
So I just got to throw this out there, okay? And what I'm about to reference, you can check it out on our podcast from the 6 to 7 a.m. stretch here. You know, Mel, we were talking about how, you know, people in China and Beijing in particular, they are hoarding toilet paper, right? And they have to regulate that. You go and steal people. People's hospital food on. We're going to have to start regulating you. We have to put like some kind of technology in place
Isn't
to stop
this
people
terrible?
In Malaysia.
You're already sick and then I come and steal your food.
Right?
Yeah,
the hospital
worst.
Food is awful.
Yeah,
why
I know.
You do that?
Maybe my standards are really low.
Okay,
well, let's find out more about what it takes to run a private hospital, especially the issue of medical inflation. That's a topic I'm going to be talking to Nadia Wan, the Chief Operating Officer of Clinical Services at Sunway Medical. Now, moving over to looking at the market, according to MIDF Research, it's in its weekly fund flow report, foreign investors are making a comeback to the local stock market. In fact, foreign funds bought over 1.76 billion ringgit net last week, an amount that has not been seen since May 2013. This is just after the outcome of the 13th general elections. In fact, if you look at the last time the amount exceeded a billion ringgit, it was March last year. So this has seen record levels this year.
You know, when something like this happens, the press fall all over themselves to want to report this, even though it is something as mundane as investors getting in and getting out of the market. I mean, this is the whole greed and fear phenomenon, right? But the lesson to be learned from here is that when prices are cheap enough, investors would come in and try to exploit that. But it's the double-edged sword as well. If things are not going well, like if they see something happening to the ringgit or 1MDB or SRC, God forbid, then they get worried and they get out. But certainly, everyone is trying to find reasons to pop the champagne bottle.
Well, you know, just to establish a historical context here, you know, we have seen three consecutive years of net outflows, net selling by foreign investors in the Malaysian equity space. You know, if you look at, say, 2014 was about 7 billion ringgit. 2015, now that was a big one. That was 19.5 billion ringgit for 2015. Again, this is net outflows, okay, by foreign investors in the Malaysian equity space. Now, last year as well, in the initial part, you know, like we are now in the initial part of 2017, in the first quarter of 2016, we saw foreign funds coming back in. But then as the year progressed, they then reversed, about made a U-turn, and then headed out the door. You know, so it is still early days. You know, we have to wait and see. But, you know, yes, you know, right now, I guess we'll take whatever money we can right now, basically.
Yes, we will.
752 right now, PNB says that it is committed to declare competitive dividend payouts on its investment products this year. Its chairman, Tan Sri Abdul Wahid Omar, says that PNB's returns are largely depend on how Bursa Malaysia performs, as over two-thirds of its investments are in public equities.
This year, for 2017, we expect the corporate sector to perform well in terms of improvement in earnings. I think we have said in the past that we expect the earnings to grow by between 5 to 7% this year for most companies listed on Stock Exchange. So when that happens, obviously, the share price will go up.
Tan Sri Wahid Omar there saying that the corporate sector is expected to perform well. We'll see some improvement in earnings. In fact, I think companies on Bursa Malaysia fared quite well in the first quarter of the year already.
You know, we have such a big retirement sufficiency problem. So I'm a little bit puzzled by some of the statements coming out from Tan Sri Wahid Omar, and who's now the chairman of PNB. Firstly, PNB is projected to grow by 5 to 7%, which means that most of the growth is going to come from projected returns and not from new funds getting into PNB. And this is an important thing, because if you want to address the retirement sufficiency problem of the country, you need to aim higher. You need to get more funds in, which means that the overall fund size of PNB has to grow beyond the 5 to 7% that financial assets offer anyway. You know, you need to get more funds in. The second thing is that he also mentioned that a lot of people have reached the limit of, for example, 200,000 for ASB. And therefore, the growth would be slowing down. I mean, why limit it? Why limit it at 200,000 when there is such a dire retirement savings problem in the country? Why not just open it up and let people save any amount they want to?
Well, isn't there, I mean, a cap because of the returns? I mean, why? Perhaps the reason for the cap is because you don't want to promise too much, or I don't know.
This cap is on the amount invested.
On the amount invested, that 200,000,
yeah,
right?
Not the returns.
So what do you think is stopping stopping PNB from removing that cap completely? What barriers do you see?
Well, I can only surmise that this PNB is more of an institution that tries to look out for the Bumiputra interests. But these caps are on funds that are also open to non-Bumiputras. But I'm just looking at a bigger picture here. I mean, we are a country with a big retirement savings problem. And I think I want to see policy that really seriously addresses that.
Now, perhaps the cap is also to, you know, spur growth and development in the other fund managers and also the other asset classes, eh? Because as opposed to, say, PNB, you know, hogging all of it. I mean, and they are projecting...
That's not a stated statement, though.
PNB's
mission is not to spur domestic fund management industry.
Sure.
Right?
No, yeah, yeah. No, yeah, of course, it's not stated. But at the same time, you know, if they're only projecting, 5 to 7% increases, you know, where else, you know, perhaps that capital from investors can achieve higher returns in other asset classes, then why not? So, you know, I'm just, you know, like Julian,
surmising. Speculating, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we'll have to see. I mean, it's really quite interesting to see how they can perhaps look to get more funds into this, and even if that's something that they want to do. But let's move on to Lima 2017, which is happening in Langkawi as we speak. According to Honeywell Aerospace, Malaysia needs to consolidate its defence hardware, you know, the ships and the planes that it owns, as well as improve communications, and all this to boost defence capabilities. This is coming at a time where Malaysia is facing some maritime threats, including China's assertiveness in the South China Sea, not to mention everything from piracy and border incursions that we're seeing by militant groups in Borneo.
So Honeywell has really done its homework. Perhaps it's posturing for some defence sales in Malaysia. And it provides some numbers saying that Malaysia has a 12% decline on defence spending from 2016. This is the largest cut made to defence in almost two decades. And this forms about 5.8% of our total budget. So do you think Honeywell is trying to gun for some sales?
Well, maybe, yeah.
See what I did? Gun for some sales.
Very nice, very nice, Jules. But, you know, I do think, you know, consider the source. But also, I think it's hard to justify defence spending at a time when the country feels a bit pinched in the pockets, you know. Can you allocate more for defence spending when you see lots of infrastructure or development spending still needed within the country?
Yeah, but I also think that one or two other things that Honeywell has raised has got structural implications as well. For example, they are saying that our defence arrangement is too fragmented. There are too many manufacturers and suppliers from around the world. Mm. We need to consolidate to have fewer aircrafts, fewer ships, and fewer vehicles, and to consolidate the hardware as well. I think the analogy here is with, for example, AirAsia having only Boeing planes, but that's easier to service. But it's hard for defense because a maker of fighter jets may not be good at making warships.
It's like if you have a MacBook MacBook, but you have an Android phone, and then you can't sync it, and you can't use the same
exactly.
iOS. It's the same. It's that same problem, isn't it? When you have multiple gadgets.
Right? I gotta give you guys credit for trying to break it down and make it relatable to the average listener. No, but going back to your point here, Melissa. No, I think it's important. Yeah, you know, on one hand, yes, you know, defense spending is an opportunity cost, but at the same time, it is crucial as well. Though, and you don't have to look that far back. Look at Lahad Datu. That came out of nowhere, right? You know,
the kidnappings.
And the kidnappings as well. So, you know, when you see the kind of military resources that were deployed when the Lahad Datu incursion actually happened a few years ago, then you think, well, thank God we had all those, machines and the warplanes, et cetera, you know, available at our disposal, right? You look at that also when you look at, say, the search for MH370. There were assets that were deployed as well. So I think the readiness is key. Likewise, the states, you know, a big part of their budget is defense spending because of their position in the global world order. It's about being battle ready, though, you know. And when the need arises,
ooh,
you gotta have those resources.
I don't know, guys. I feel defense spending is problematic, and if I were to see an increase in defense spending, I would be quite alarmed, because simply because defense spending is, you know, with its own reasons, rather opaque. You cannot be that transparent in defense spending. But as I see where the economy is and to allocate government funds for defense, I would feel quite concerned.
No, I totally get it, but at the same, I mean, that is an ideal. Of course, it would be nice if we can put out all our guns. But in the real world, you got to be ready when Lahad Datu happens, when MH370 happens, and God forbid, whatever China or North Korea wants to do.
Okay. On that happy note, let's move on to the 8 o'clock news bulletin. But stay tuned, because after the news, we have The Breakfast Grill with Nadia Wan, Chief Operating Officer of Clinical Services at Sunway Medical Centre. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.